Glach gavash, hurt nasacher horrigan, canuka furrer erash, the hernic eramestia, a hor agasasonas, bass oot in your sonarich. Now who ye maraving like gavash for grim ruisage? Gilogs a lock and shears, magroai, sahuar grisian. Smoon ich mir a horse an aga huar eur ervi tuchtem an a run an arc an eri tuljug. Er a grionachas, er a chlunach duar en aunar. Get beshen bavranich a snuag an ang laich ar loom ag le kulag an mochurip glas ir gane ich lachgin si salach vuyas lam da reps da sprulich kaha. A rongeil ar an raum a bab na hiwish na comanich, no ar an raum bavo yus an ar horich, chig va hosachal gan joan go buariag, agus bruail en cuhich gach blar ar sga huach gran. Ge be joan sa no achas, an noichandas na vieron, had an och ge tolach an avas, fagra imru isech.
Death Valley. Some Nazi or other has said that the Führer had restored to German manhood the right and joy of dying in battle. Sitting dead in Death Valley below the Ruiset Ridge, a boy with his forelock down about his cheek and his face slate grey, I thought of the right and the joy that he got from his Führer of falling in the field of slaughter to rise no more, of the pomp and the fame that he had, not alone, though he was the most piteous to see in a valley gone to seed with flies about grey corpses on a dun sand, dirty yellow and full of the rubbish and fragments of battle. Was the boy of the band who abused the Jews and communists, or of the greater band of those led from the beginning of generations unwillingly to the trial and mad delirium of every war for the sake of rulers? Whatever his desire or mishap, his innocence or malignity, he showed no pleasure in his death below the Ruiset Ridge.
I like this poem very much because I think it shows a kind of what you might almost call a Greek justice, especially in the last verse there.
Whatever his desire or mishap, his innocence or malignity, he showed no pleasure in his death below the Ruiset Ridge.
It's very strongly focused. I presume this was an actual individual that you actually saw.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was almost obsessed with the face of the boy. There wasn't a mark on him, and he looked so young. He was killed, obviously, by bomb blast or mine blast. The point is, he was sitting up straight, which was curiously piteous in its way.
Yes. Now, you decided to put this epigraph at the top.
Some Nazi or other has said that the Führer had restored to German manhood the right and joy of dying in battle.
I thought it was desirable at the time because, you see, I had been struck by the phrase that I saw translated somewhere before this.
Yes. Solly, is the epigraph common in Gaelic poetry? I know that you've used it in Halleck, I think.
I can't think it is common at all in older Gaelic poetry.
I can't bring to mind very many myself, no. The other thing is there are two verses here which run into each other without a break.
Of the pomp and the fame that he had, not alone, though he was the most piteous to see in a valley gone to seed with flies about grey corpses on a dun sand, dirty yellow and full of the rubbish and fragments of battle.
Is it common for Gaelic verses to run into each other like that and not be self-contained? Though I suppose it is quite common in modern English poetry, but is it common in Gaelic poetry?
Well, I suppose it has become fairly common nowadays. This was written in 43, or perhaps even in the end of 42. And certainly it wasn't common then. In Hagen Dukmi, in Hagen Dukmi Ulagul, Hatuki Gul, O Herahon, get the Hure Misha Eresalu, Hatahikin Hamel Teacher. Ach trich gesmoan jina hai, and there was magnan a kalich hier, hig os a kain a gloas a dulich, a kura forstach gloas gan. Agus vagoin a kalich haim, or iaich snoich smengach menev, bine ur haum, karshon vahaja, mar osklag farir ila.
She to whom I gave. She to whom I gave all love gave me no love in return. Though my agony was for her sake, she did not understand the shame at all. But often in the thoughts of night, when my mind is a dim wood, a breeze of memory comes, stirring the foliage, putting the wood's assuagement to unrest. And from the depths of my body's wood, from sap-filled root and slender branching, there will be the heavy cry, why was her beauty like a horizon opening the door today?
I suppose in this one again we come back to this relationship between nature, imagery and people.
Well, this poem came out of very, very unusual circumstances, which left me for over 2 years in a kind of perplexity. It is true that from the time I was a young boy, I was obsessed with woods and mountains. You see, we had those wonderful woods of Rossick when I was a young boy, with every kind of tree imaginable. Well, I suppose they're almost obsessive images in my verse. You will notice here, I think, the restraint of the assonances and something almost like a dying fall, which I think actually suits the mood of the poem. There is about this poem a kind of hesitancy, a kind of coming down, a hesitancy suggesting, I think, a perplexity. And it was written in a time of great perplexity.
Yes, I think I understand what you mean, because in some of the other poems that you've done, some of the love poems, you get a kind of harmony which is given by the assonances. Whereas here, you don't actually use, in the fourth line, any kind of harmony with the second line in any of the verses. So I suppose this really replicates, in a way, the lack of harmony in the poem itself. I can understand that.